Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres Mets. I am in New York. Three games. Padres finally playing a team in playoff position, albeit a struggling team, tenuously in playoff position, in the Mets, who had lost eight in a row before Sunday. The Padres. Well, Ryan, they've won 6 of 9, but they've won 7 of 16. So if you do the math, it hasn't been a very good 2.5 weeks. Where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with just kind of, let's set the scene here. Padres this week play at the Mets, at the White Sox. While making the playoffs is not necessarily an inevitability, things are really starting to line up in that we know sort of what the Padres have to do and what has to happen other places for the Padres to secure a playoff berth. And that is something that could happen as soon as this week. Kevin, let's just kind of lay it out here. They're right now in line for the second wildcard spot behind the Cubs. They trail the Dodgers in the National League West standings. LA losing last night. Padres are now 2 back. Where do they stand now playoff-wise?
Still somewhat complicated, but not really. I'll start here. It would take a lot for the Padres to not finish as the number 5 seed where they are now. You already mentioned how far they are ahead of the Mets, how far they are behind the Cubs. And you just have to remember, it's not just about the Padres, say, winning or losing to go up or down. It's about the teams ahead of them losing as well, and then and losing more than them. And then the Padres, if they were going to go down, not just them losing, but say the Mets and or the Diamondbacks and or the Giants and or the Reds, winning a lot more than them. Now, of course, the Mets can affect that greatly because they actually play the Padres. So we'll see there. We'll have a much, much clearer path after this series. Padres could clinch by Friday. How could they do that? Easiest way would be, say, going 4-0 and having, let's see, the Giants already lost to the Diamondbacks, so without getting too deep in the weeds, they need 2 losses this week by the Diamondbacks, 2 losses by the Reds, 2 losses by the Giants. And then if they were to go win their first 4 games, they're, you know, ruining the clubhouse carpet at Wrigley Field on Friday night. So pretty good chance that they are celebrating at Wrigley Field in Chicago this weekend. But if not, then probably early next week.
Right. And keep in mind, you know, you look at some of the teams that are still battling here for a wild card spot. Inexplicably, the Diamondbacks and the Giants are right in the thick of things. But guess what? The Diamondbacks and the Giants are playing each other this week in Phoenix, which means, you know, essentially what you're hoping for, I think, if you're following the Padres, is not a sweep in either direction, right? You kind of want the 2-1 there, both teams to sort of take on a little bit of fire, and that helps the Padres climb.
You know what would be good? I think the Giants winning the next 2, if you're the Padres, because we didn't address, I addressed how they make the playoffs. Let's talk about how they win the division, right? And why is that important? Well, if you finish ahead of the Cubs, which that's going to be rough, but you could do it. Closer are the Dodgers, 2 games ahead. You get the 3rd seed as the NL West, because look, you're not passing the Phillies. In order to pass the Phillies, the Padres would need to go 12-0 and the Phillies 4-7 the rest of the way. Okay, so then do the math down from there, right? Like, if the Phillies even go 500, or actually, if the Phillies go 5-6, Padres are eliminated from contention for the number 2 seed. So your best spot, you're going to play a wild card to get the division, and you're hosting the number 6 seed, which is the Diamondbacks, Reds, Giants, or Mets. You're hosting them for the wild card. Number 4 seed, you would host probably the Cubs for the wild card. So how do they get there, and whether that's like super important or reachable to them, reachable probably more, you know, that's probably more pertinent because it is important to get that home series. I think that's an interesting discussion, is what is that like, because what happens is you have an off day next Thursday and you want to juggle your rotation, right? Or after you clinch, let's say you clinch Sunday, Monday or Tuesday, you bring in Nestor Cortez to start because you push Nick Pivetta back. So Nick Pivetta's lined up to start game 1 of the wild card series. I mean, there's still a lot of really interesting subplots left.
Absolutely. And the Padres, by just not tanking here in the last couple of weeks, by pulling out of that tailspin after going 2-8, by pulling out of that tailspin, they've ensured that they're going to make the playoffs. Now it's just a matter of jockeying for where. To me, Kevin, and what I'm curious about, you talk to these guys in the clubhouse and you talk to Mike Schilt every day. Does winning the division mean anything to them? Or is it just make the or play good baseball, or play good baseball regardless of where you finish in the standings?
You're going to get varying answers. You just gave all of the answers, but mostly play good baseball and get that bye, or not the bye. There was a point where it was get the bye. Get that home series, man. Guarantee you that's important to the people for next, you know, trying to make next year's budget. So that means it should be important to everyone because to some extent, you know, how much you're going to spend on payroll. Right. But you have just a, you have the energy of Petco Park. You have just a better shot at, you know, advancing. Though, really, it's get in the tournament.
Right. And is it, and maybe I'm giving you another answer here, but is it also matchups? I mean, are they more concerned about who they might play than what seed they might be? Does that make sense?
Yes. And certainly they've looked at it already, but first off, you just can't predict, man. Hey, the Giants have really good starting pitching. The Reds have really good starting pitching. The Diamondbacks have pitchers that have matched up well against the Padres. The Dodgers, go talk all day about the good and bad of playing the Dodgers, right? Like, you know, they destroyed the Giants in the season series. I don't know that that matters so much. If the Giants make the playoffs, that means that they played something like 750 baseball over the last month. I don't know that you want to face them. The Reds, Abbott, Lodolo, you never even saw Hunter Green. It's tough either way. So that is not something that you're like, oh, do we need to get this one more win or whatever. It's really, you do want to be the number three or four seed and get that home field for the wild card.
Yep, that makes total sense. That makes total sense. Kevin, starting pitching, appears to have pulled itself out a little bit of the tailspin it was in a couple of weeks ago. Sixth best ERA in baseball over the last, I think it's 10 or 11 games. A group that is looking better and better, and they've got a little more added rest time baked in thanks to JP Sears last week. As we head to New York and as this series opens, Kevin, what do we think of starting pitching and what has to happen here?
Well, I think these next two nights where you've got Michael King going tonight, obviously big, no matter who Michael King's facing, his second time back from the injured list. And then Nick Pivetta tomorrow, as we tape this on Monday, because you're facing a good lineup. Look, yes, they've lost 7-8. They're in playoff position, though. You have Pete Alonso, Juan Soto, Francisco Lindor. You have Jeff McNeil. I mean, this is not the Rockies, is what I'm saying. Because the Padres, by the way, while going 7-9 over the last 16 games, mm-hmm. there was one win against the Twins, who have the worst record, second worst record in the American League. There was one win over the Reds, who are now 500. And there were five wins over the Rockies, who will be historically bad, probably the fifth worst or the fifth most losses. So we're not talking about a team on fire or a rotation that pulled itself out against, you know, really good teams. So I think these next 2 days are big. Those are your two, probably your 1-2 for wild card starts and playoff starts. So I think that's super important. Though I will say, to me, the biggest troubling, or arguably the biggest troubling part of their bad stretch, was how bad the starters were. So it wasn't just that they were losing, right? I'll give you context all day about World Series winning teams that looked like they would never beat anybody again in September, and they went on to win the World Series. I'll argue that all day. The way the Padres were losing with their starting pitching being so bad, that was troubling. So this is at least encouraging.
Right. The stuff I think about, Kevin, late at night, early in the mornings, is how does this pitching rotation line up in a short series? So let's say you're playing. I see your face there. I think about it in my free time is what I'm trying to tell you, Kevin. I think we can all agree that Nick Pivetta is number one. Do you maintain that King's number two, barring something bad happening or strange happening down the stretch here?
I do. And my face, by the way, was just actually that's what I do, too. So who are your most trusted guys? Who are your guys that are most effective and most trustworthy? Mm-hmm. you would have thought it was going to be Dylan Cease, right? Because that guy could still be super effective. But really, now here's the thing to think about in the postseason. Both Yu Darvish and Dylan Cease are prone to dominant innings and then blowing up in an inning, right? Well, in the postseason, you are ready to fire a reliever. This isn't like, uh-oh, you're going to let it get away because you're not going to get a reliever hot in the second inning, like right away, so that he's able to, you know, come in after two bad batters, right? And like, you know, in that inning, and uh-oh, this looks like it's going to get away from us if it goes sideways. And then you're bringing in your number nine reliever anyway, like probably, right? And that's the regular season mentality and how Mike Schilt, while using his relievers a lot, has been able to keep them relatively fresh because he takes care of them in terms of when they're going to pitch and not pitch, and in terms of how much they're going to get hot in the bullpen. And if they get hot, are they going to pitch? In the playoffs, all hands on deck, everybody ready. It's a five-alarm fire in the second, maybe even the first inning. So I guess the point I'm making is, who your number three is, or when Darvish and or Cease go, they are going to be ready to boom, right? They're going to be ready to come in with what is supposed to be the strength of their team, the bullpen. So I'm not sure who like your number three is, or if it's really as troubling as we might think how Darvish and Cease have pitched.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you know, game three is an if necessary situation, right? You could, in theory, like the Padres did last year against Atlanta, win the first two games. The guy who's going to start game three, maybe you talk about starting him in game one of the next series. Like you said, since game three is an all hands on deck situation anyway, if the Padres could go Pivetta, King, and then in three, let's say you start Darvish and C starts warming up in the third inning, and you're hoping that those two guys can combine to give you four, right?
No, I think you hope you don't combine to give you five or six, but yes. Right. So, okay, four, great.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, you're right. Maybe it doesn't matter. You're not necessarily choosing between Cease and Darvish for game three, because in game three, it's everybody.
Yes, absolutely. But then who do you start game one? Because they have to think that too. And right. now it's Randy Vasquez. And I love me some Randy Vasquez. I don't know that you're starting in game one against, you know, if it's 5-4, you're going to the Brewers. Now, he did shut out the Brewers, I think, for 4 2/3 innings, but that was back in June. So, yes, look, I'm not ruling out what you said, though you do have to keep in mind, okay, what are we going to do for game one?
Right. But if you lose game three, your season's over. So there's that.
But how did your pitching line up, and are you really better off spending Cease or Darvish as a reliever versus right. your bullpen.
Right. A quick aside, and then we'll get into the Mets here a little bit. Kevin, would you rather face the Dodgers in the first round or in a longer round this year?
Well, I would say that they would want to face them. That's really interesting. Shorter. I though, as I say it, I go longer means you get more pitchers because their top pitchers are so good. I guess I was going shorter because the Padres, like, really, is that what you want to have to do, is to win 3 of 5 against the Dodgers? Is that really what you want to have to do? But I don't know. Why do you ask? What do you think?
Oh, it's just stuff I think about. I would say most years, or at least recently, I would say, for God's sakes, whatever you do, don't play the Dodgers in a long series. Right, because the Dodgers mix and match so well. They've, you know, spun gold out of that bullpen. You know, they did it last year in the playoffs. You know, even the year when they won the World Series, right? It was patching it together. And they do such a good job of patching it together that I would say, well, yeah, don't play them in a long series. But man, the Dodgers bullpen, they've been so up and down this year.
Yeah.
You know, do the Padres have more quality sort of 1 through 25 than the Dodgers do? 2 years ago, I'd say that was laughable. Even the year, the Dragon Slayers year, I'm not sure the Padres were deeper than the Dodgers. Yeah. Maybe they're deeper than the Dodgers right now. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah. And so we're talking about a 7-game series here.
Right.
And I that is a very interesting proposition. I need to get out of any sort of prognostication business, but then so does everybody, because right. This is baseball, and this year has been so wild. And, you know, the Dodgers could get hot, though we've said that for a long time. So I think that maybe I'm tending to agree that a longer series. Hey, NLCS, the Padres will take it. If you told them, hey, you're going to have to face them in a longer series, but it's the NLCS, I'm pretty sure they'll take it.
Right. Keep in mind, by the way, the Padres have now been assured of a winning record yet again, confirming, Kevin, what we've sort of joked about all year. This is the golden age of Padres baseball. It, as much as we want to pick apart Yuki Matsui or Mason McCoy or why Luis Campusano's in El Paso buying real estate instead of in San Diego, this is the golden age of Padre baseball. They have as good a chance today to win the whole thing as they've ever had.
Don't lump me in with any of those topics, just to be clear. especially not in the scope of this conversation. And I know that you would agree that, like, that's neither here nor there when we're talking about the future.
Right.
But it's absolutely something to consider. And that I do find sometimes a little odd that, Padres fans, some, not all, because I believe it or not, I get a lot of emails from people that I'm too hard on them because of what you just said, that we should be grateful. Hey, long-suffering fans that love baseball and loved their team, even when they were bad, are grateful for having relevant baseball in September and having their team go to the playoffs. These are generally people that are older and maybe a little more tolerant of wait till next year. But yes, it's like they're about to go to the playoffs for the fourth time in 6 years. The other two were terrible disappointments because they were supposed to be better and had better teams. The winning percentage is the highest over a 6-year period. The four straight winning records, only the second time that's happened, 04 to 07. It will be, let's see, Bochy accomplished it, Dick Williams accomplished it, Mike Schilt is about to accomplish it, winning records in back-to-back seasons. Mike Schilt will become the first manager to take them to the playoffs Bruce Bochy, and the only other manager besides Bruce Bochy to take them to the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. So that's how long it's been. You are spot on. This is the golden age of Padres baseball, such as it is.
You know, Kevin, what you just told me, I think I've figured something out. Dick Williams is in the Hall of Fame. Bruce Bochy will be in the Hall of Fame the second he is eligible. I think what the voters are saying is if you can take the Padres to the playoffs more than once, you belong in baseball's Hall of Fame.
You have to take them to the World Series as well, right? You have to take them to the World Series and lose. Yes. Now you need to have some longevity, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yep. There's that. Let's get into Padres Mets real quick because I have some more Padre related questions, but I want to save them for the end here. Padres Mets, fascinating pitching matchup tonight. Michael King versus Clay Holmes. Kevin, I'm old enough to remember when both of those guys were Yankees relievers. Now they're both frontline, very good starting pitchers. King 4-2 with a 2.87 ERA. Clay Holmes 11-8, 3.75 ERA in his first full season as a starter. What do we make of that?
He's doubled his innings. The Padres rocked him back in July. Don't know what that means since the Mets came in on a 7-game winning streak before the Padres swept them. Now they're coming in having lost 8 of 9. They're buddies, Mike King and Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes obviously able to pick Michael King's brain about what he did last year. Facing a good team and good pitching. Mets pitching is matched up, though. I'm not sure, unless it's been in the last hour, that the Mets have put out who's pitching game two and three.
Nope. We're still TBA Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday is Nick Vasquez. Vasquez? Nick Pivetta, 13-5 with a 2.73 ERA against TBA. Interesting fact on Pivetta. I don't know what to make of it, but he has an ERA over 5. His career against the Mets. And it's not necessarily a small sample size. It's 43 innings. That's almost 5 full games.
Which of them were before 2020 would be my question.
I would say almost all of them. That would be my guess.
When he pitched for the Phillies. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. That's a great point. That's a great point. And then Wednesday, Randy Vasquez versus Mets TBA. You know, he's thrown a career high 123 and a third innings. He's been excellent since returning from the minors slash paternity list, if I recall correctly. He's allowed just two runs over the last 12 innings. Again, I say it every week. I don't know where they'd be without Randy Vasquez. He's been a big story this year.
Yeah, you and I have talked about it a lot. Like, I'm going to pull a Mike Schilt on you because you just said he's been excellent. Because I'm going to say, I would say he's been excellent all year. That would be classic Mike Schilt. I'd know it. The second that comment was coming out of my mouth, I'd be like, oh, he's going to come back with. And here's why I say that Randy Vasquez has been excellent all year. He came into the season as your number four, arguably number five starter. Mm-hmm. And has a 3.8 something. Is that what you said? Has what? They've won 16 of his 25 starts. I believe that the Padres are, is it 16 or and 13 or something like that with Nick Pivetta on the mound? I mean, right. Like now, what matters when it comes down to it? Team wins. Now, has Nick Pivetta given his team a better chance to win than Randy Vasquez? Yes. But Randy Vasquez, number four or five starter, Randy Vasquez, has given the Padres a chance to win an awful lot this year.
Right. And I would argue that, you know, Randy Vasquez, you just got to be better than the other team's four or five guy, right? And so why do they win more Randy Vasquez than starts? My armchair quarterback opinion here is because Randy Vasquez is better than a lot of fours and fives. Very Nick Pivetta has been great this year, but man, he goes up against the other team's ace more often than not, doesn't he?
Yeah, he goes up against their 1-2, 1-2A. Yes, right. Absolutely. I don't want to ruin your point. Your point is spot on.
Yep. Real quick, let's get into some injury stuff. David Morgan hopes to resume throwing, has some inflammation in his shoulder. Disappointing to me, at least. I thought that he was a guy who really stood to benefit, I guess, from that sort of vacuum that popped up when Jason Adam got hurt. Nestor Cortez also back to throwing. Xander Bogaerts is in Phoenix / Peoria trying to round back into shape. Kevin, do we anticipate seeing him well before the regular season ends? Sort of where are things trending there?
Yeah, I would think by Chicago, sure. Number one, he'll be ready probably, right? Unless there's some setback, unless the running progression doesn't go well in Peoria. And number two, then he'll be there for the potential clinching, which he deserves to be. And presumably him being there in the lineup would help them to get to that point. So and it gives him more time to get ready. So last year he was out much longer with that shoulder. They did that. I believe he was in Peoria for 3 days, maybe 4 days. Doesn't need that this time. I think that he'll, he'll be back by the weekend.
Yeah. And again, it's September. This is worth noting, you know, there's no harm in bringing him along with the team because you don't really have to make a corresponding move, do you? There's no minor league team for him to rehab with, A. B, if you bring him, if he's in the clubhouse and in the dugout, do you have to make a corresponding move there?
You do because you are limited to 28 now. So okay. You do, but your point is valid because you're going to, no offense, you're going to lose Mason McCoy. I mean, yeah. Okay.
Right.
You have not only is Mason McCoy, there's a reason he spent most of the year in AAA. You have other Mason McCoys on the team in terms of pinch running, laying down a bunt, whatever, defensive replacement. Your point is valid.
Yep. As long as you have Jose Iglesias, you have sort of a super Mason McCoy. And it looks as if he's trending in the right direction health-wise, too, after getting hit last week. Kevin, just two more things, throwing this out. Number one, Fernando Tatis and Jackson Merrill. I mean, I think, to me, the story of the weekend was Jackson Merrill getting hot, Fernando Tatis playing better. Are they close to being sort of what we've been expecting all year?
That would be certainly great. And I'll tell you that Jackson has looked like it since before he went on his third IL. I thought so. And then the result, and others did too, others smarter than me. And then the results are coming here over the last 8 games. Just like I talked about with the pitching or the overall results. Yeah, they came against the Rockies and he had one big day in Colorado. And so, okay, discount it if you want, but he has looked better. He is doing the right things and displaying that kind of strut that he has when he's going well, that has not been around since, you know, but the first 10 games of the season, really, because it hasn't had a chance to be around, really. And then Tatis, sure. Hey, is it 4 home runs in the last 10 games, I think? Not much else. I mean, some nice singles. The last couple of games were really good. But if you're going to get 4 home runs from Tatis and a .333 on base percentage, which I think is what it is in that span, you'll take that, because Tatis, the bottom of the order is putting some people on, and that's big. So I think you would want that, Fernando. Though, that Fernando, remember how much they won when Fernando Tatis Jr. was not hitting home runs and getting on base at 45% of the time. Just remember that. Just remember that. I'm not saying that we're not going to get into a bigger conversation here about what Fernando type of player Fernando Tatis could be or needs to be. But just remember that.
Yep. If all Fernando Tatis did was rob home runs and hit homers, Kevin, I think he'd probably have a lifetime contract here.
Getting he has off one base, anyway.
Yeah, as well. That's true. The statue.
Okay. Yes.
Kevin, one more thing before I let you go. I try to put you on the spot at the end of all of these things, and I'm going to let you vent for a minute.
Uh-oh.
Who in the hell schedules an East Coast road trip for the second to last week of the regular season? You're in New York and Chicago? Crazy.
I'm not going to vent unless you want me to vent against some people that complain about schedules. There's 30 teams. Mm-hmm. They each get a certain amount of requests for things they've scheduled at their ballparks that aren't baseball, or that they don't want to do this and this, or they want this day. And you got to make them all work. Mm-hmm. Like, I got that. You only play your division now 13 times. Right. So there's not that built in, oh, okay, we can have a lot of those just more naturally at the end of the year. I remember at the beginning of the year when people were upset that the Padres and Dodgers didn't play so early. And then we got those great games in July and August, right? Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't that better than having them in April and May? Like, now, is it cool that the Dodgers and Padres play next September? And we would anticipate it? Absolutely. Right. How are the schedule makers supposed to anticipate who's going to be good? Right? Like, gosh, they should have known that the Giants were going to get hot. And then the Giants could have done that LA San Diego trip in the, second to last week. And that would have been really cool. Because I was a schedule complainer, because this, you're correct, this trip makes no sense. I've done over the years enough questioning and asking the powers that be with the league and with the Padres to understand that we have no freaking idea, all right, what was necessary for the league, the Padres, the Dodgers, the Twins, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Pirates, the Brewers, the Diamondbacks. I mean, everyone's got their thing. So I'm not going to vent on that.
Well, and keep in mind, the last time the Padres played the Giants were awful.
Yep.
And right around that time, the Mets were really good, or at least better than they have been lately. So maybe this is a break in their favor, even though they have to travel a very long distance. But my larger question is, when was the last time you were able to pack long sleeve shirts and I'm guessing sweater or a jacket?
I did only because the night's here. It's actually, right. I might be hot here in the afternoon. It's supposed to be like 76. It felt yesterday like, not like our summer 76 that could get a little damp. You know what I mean? Yep. It felt like a nice, cool 76 here. And then I'll take a jacket because supposedly down in the 60s, which, for me, I might be a little chilly. I haven't decided whether I'll walk home, walk back to the hotel or take a Uber. Queens is a wonderful place. So
when was the last time you were cold at a baseball game? Not at Petco Park. Not at Petco Park.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. It's not as long as you think, but it's a great point. It really is. I was a little chilly in San Francisco last month because it's San Francisco. Right. I mean, you go there in August, it could be 104. I've been there. and you go there and it's in, you know, in the 50s as you're walking back to your hotel, which that was my case then. So yes, that is a, the summer though, every summer when you're covering baseball is hot and humid. This one seems to have been worse than most. So I was, it might've been a little wishful thinking on my part that I was going to be cold later in the game today with the windows open. So we'll see. I was very much looking forward to this trip for the weather. And then I see that I've got low 80s in Chicago and mid to high 70s here.
Ooh, ooh. Well, I hope for your case, it feels like fall just a little bit.
Yeah.
You're gonna jinx it, but we've been pretty lucky weather-wise all year with the Padres on the road. So hoping for at least clear skies in both New York and Chicago. Padres Mets 3-game series starting tonight at Citi Field. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.